to another episode of Magically Amateuring.
Hey, everybody. This is our very special episode. Because everything that we're talking about has the letter M in it.
Yes.
I'm Megan.
I'm Maria.
We're talking about Modern Masters. We're talking about Modern the format. We're talking about the mocks. And if there's anything else, we're not going to talk about it unless there's an in front of it.
Correct. So to open our show, Marmalade, your thoughts.
Ooh, do you know what? I'll be honest, I don't know how it's different from jelly and jam.
I'm going to be honest with you now for a second.
Okay.
Me either.
I do know the difference between jam and jelly.
Don't, because...
No. I'm not going to tell a terrible joke. I'm telling you, I literally know the difference between jam.
Okay, because it's only
jelly.
My favorite dirty joke. Go.
Jam, you don't strain out the seeds.
Yeah.
Jelly, you strain it.
I prefer jam.
Yeah, me too, I think.
I just want it natural.
Yeah. But the honest truth is that, like, I'll have either one.
Cool. Okay, so this is my hypothesis. Is marmalade, or marmalade, just jelly but with fruit in it?
It might be that.
That's what I'm
going
with.
I think it might be that.
Okay. We could be very wrong. But
we
you
could
can
be very...
Feel
I
free
mean,
to quote us anyway.
We're not wrong about the jam thing.
No.
No.
And we're not wrong about it being a good dirty joke.
No. We're not wrong about that.
Look
either.
It up. Anyway, yeah, Modern Masters, the set has been fully spoiled. You've got your eyes on all of the cards, and we're starting to think about draft, because Modern Masters is optimized as a draft format, which is really cool.
It's so exciting. Like we said, we're going to tell you a little bit about Modern the format and what decks we're thinking about playing. Obviously, San Antonio is still nearly a month out right now, but that
I'm
doesn't
excited.
Mean that you shouldn't be already planning if you're going.
Yes.
So we've been testing, we've been trying, we've been innovating.
Yeah. And of course, the Magic Online Championship was this past weekend. If you had a chance to check it out on twitch.tv/magic, we're going to recap that event for you because some cool stuff happened in there. And of course, you can always go watch the videos on demand on twitch.tv/magic or YouTube, because let me tell you one thing. If there's one takeaway from the Magic Online Championship, it was that there was a ton of really good magic played.
Yeah.
And if you want to see some super close nail biters, go check that out. So we'll recap that. Do some flavor text theater, probably, you know, just have a good
It'll
time.
It'll have to be Malay Vertext Theater.
We'll
no,
play
if we do it.
Malay
Vertext Theater.
Before we start our show, of course, we have some people to thank. Namely, number one, you, the patrons.
Thank you so much for supporting the show and making it possible. We just had a ton of patron mailings go out just last week. So if you're getting that stuff in the mail, let us know on Twitter or somewhere else. Send us a photo of you and your sweet swag, because we'd love to see it. We're super excited about these magnet sets.
Oh, yes.
I can't stop talking about
They're
them because
so
I
cute.
Love them so much.
They're behind Megan. Do you see right
I just
there?
Want to make
if you're
all
watching
sorts
video?
Of weird magic poetry.
I mean, we could just make a new set every month. I shouldn't even said that because now you're thinking.
Yeah.
But
you know,
it's great.
Exciting.
It
it's
is.
Great. You can also get those on the website.
You can. You can buy them at magicthamateuring.com. We have a little store, sells t-shirts, and it sells our magnets. Check that out, as well as if you want to do it the free way. I say free in hashtags, quotation marks.
Hashtag free.
Because you'll be supporting us on Patreon. You can do it that way, too. We have a lot of options for you. Mm-hmm. But we are so very thankful to everybody who supports our show. You make a world of difference, and there are less than 1% of you. So so thank you. It means
thank
a lot.
Thank you so much. Next is CardKingdom.com. CardKingdom.com/MTAcast is a sick place to go if you're ready to pick up some boosters, if you're ready to dive into Modern or dive into Standard or dive into Commander or dive into another format.
Frontier.
You can get cards for all of these at CardKingdom.com, and they are so nice. People send photos
all
on
the
Twitter
time.
All the time of like the cute mail that they get from them.
Yes.
Like notes and stickers or like tokens or they're just like cute drawings.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
They're fantastic, and I'm going to be adapting my Modern deck that I'm bringing to San Antonio after a little bit of testing that I've done. I'll talk about that later. Where am I going to buy my cards from? Card Kingdom. And if you use the affiliate link /MTAcast, they know that we sent you. And you can ask for a sticker from Magic the Amateuring to be included in your order. I just mailed them off today, so they should be there by the time you ask.
Sweet.
And if they're not, sorry. Yep. Of course, you can check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/MTAcast. Cube April, our friend over on MTA Plays, youtube.com/MTAPlays, is putting up a lot of modern videos. And she's playing the modern Cube now, which is newly out there.
It is newly out there.
So if you want to see her just probably destroy at that Cube, like win like every single game.
Really kill it.
I know I haven't seen any of them, but this is my assumption that she's going to win every game.
Yeah.
YouTube.com. I mean,
that's kind of her jam.
/MTAPlays.
Modern Masters 2017.
This is the third iteration of Modern Masters, and we are lucky to be here for it because it looks almost right. There was that asteroid that nearly hit the Earth,
and we were all almost not here for
it. That's so true.
The way that you said it just sounded like that's what you were going to say.
That is kind of where my mouth was going. My mouth usually gets there before my brain does, and so that was what's going to happen. So you called it.
Very exciting. Yeah. As always, like Maria mentioned earlier, it's a set designed to be drafted, which is so cool. It just means that you can have so much fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, cracking those boosters, picking those cards, building those decks.
Also, Modern Masters...
grinding those matches.
It's a way...
winning those games. Is marking the black totals
a way
your opponents.
For people to see. So cards get reprinted in Modern Masters, which is something else that people like, besides being an awesome set to draft. What Wizards did was really outdo themselves.
Filling out those match lists.
Okay. Why do I even try? They've usually done a good job of reprinting cards in Modern Masters that people want for their modern decks.
Yes.
This time, they outdid themselves. They printed basically everything that everybody wanted. And what will happen
it's so exciting.
We're putting more cards into the market. The prices are going to drop a bit. There's going to be more quantity and easier to get your hands on the stuff you need. So we're talking cards like Tarmogoyf is back in this reprinting of Modern Masters.
Everyone's favorite, Lorgoyf.
Yes, and only Lurgoyf.
Yes, everyone's only Lurgoyf.
So lonely.
Poor Tarmogoyf.
Of course, who else is in here? A Damnation is in this reprint, which everybody is very excited about.
Of course, the original Zendikar Fetchlands, which we have talked about.
That's going to be great.
Very exciting.
We have everybody's favorite beast to reanimate.
Ooh, wait, which one?
The Grizzlefather.
Oh, he's a demon. How dare you?
You were thinking I meant literal beast?
Yeah.
Oh, I just meant like he's a big dude.
Excuse me. Does this look like a beast to you?
I mean, if someone was like, that guy's a beast, I'd be like,
You'd be like, okay, yeah, I get it. All right, I get it. Let's see, some sweet miracle cards, which
Megan.
We'll talk about in a little bit. You know, I've been having a great time casting some miracles. Terminus...
Scavenging Mastery, Ooze.
Scavenging Ooze. And of course, we called it.
Called it.
Here it is.
Craterhoof Behemoth.
Get hoofed.
Get hoofed.
Blood Moon.
That's a great
one.
That
one sees a reasonable amount of.
Thrag Tusky.
Yeah, that's right. Restoration Angel.
Yep.
Gifts Ungiven. Lots of great cards that we see in tons of different modern decks.
This is really cool. They just went above and beyond, I think, with these reprints. And I would say 99.9% of people are really happy with what they've reprinted.
Yes.
Which is great.
And the other 0.1% believe that they're in a dream.
Yeah.
From which they cannot wake.
So let's talk a little bit about drafting this bad boy, because each Modern Master set that we've seen so far has drafted a little bit different, but they've retained a common thread in that they were both sweet to draft. So I'm super excited to see what this one brings. And there's a few clues. Like, we don't really know. Nobody outside of Wizards has drafted this yet. But by looking at the set, we can kind of take a few bits and pieces of information and put them together to speculate on what we think the draft format will be like. And I think the first thing that hit my brain nodes from seeing this set was that there was so much fixing of mana.
Oh, I love fixing.
So there was great fixing in other Modern Masters sets, including the...
Which means you can just draft all the colors.
All the colors, five color nonsense.
Yeah, we had like Vivid Lands. Early on, right? So in this one, we've got, as we mentioned last time, we have the Shards lands.
Yep.
We've also got the Guild Gates, obviously.
That's a big clue.
Yeah, a return to the fun Guild Gates.
And we have them. Signets, Megan.
We have Signets? I didn't even see them.
Signets at Uncommon. What? So they're not common, which is a power shift upwards, which yes. Normally in Modern Masters things power shift down, which but makes
Signets, they're just like these,
they're so
these
good.
Are so good.
They can't just means be common.
You can be a cube. Cast any stupid card that you want to cast. Yes. You can just cast it.
Yeah. So Signets are here. So get this five color good stuff is going to be a deck sure.
One of my favorite decks.
I'm excited about this. Signets are so powerful. And if you're a newer player, sometimes you wonder yourself, why is a signet good? It fixes your mana while being a colorless artifact. So it can be, you know, you can be playing any color of deck, really, and still be able to cast this. It ramps your mana because even though you're spending a turn or whatever to cast it, the next turn you're going to have one more mana than you would have had previously.
Yep.
So they're good on just a bunch of fronts. And having them in this... is a big signal that five color is going to be a legitimate draft strategy.
Multicolor,
sure.
At the very least.
At the very least.
Three, four.
Yeah.
Five.
Six.
Seven.
10.
20.
Some people speculate that purple is the next color of Magic. Is that the color you would put as six? Red, green, blue, black, white. Like, what even goes with those colors? If I'm like
green.
Designing this room that is Magic.
Purple. I see purple as a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
see. Because purple's kind of like its own deal. I know it's a mixture, but it's more of its own deal than me saying turquoise.
Yeah, or like orange.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, what kind of land is it?
Is purple?
Yeah.
So mountains are red, forests are green, islands are blue, swamps are black,
plains are white.
What's purple?
What is purple?
A step.
A step?
That's still a plain.
All of your stairs?
No! Oh. With an E on the...
you just meant, like, a step.
It's too bad that mountains are red because I would have definitely chosen purple for mountains.
Okay, what if purple? So blue has always been like seas and skies, kind of, but purple could be the sky.
That would
like
be pretty.
Like a twilight sky.
Oh, twilight sky. That's a set right there.
Twilight sky.
Copyright that now.
Copyrighted.
Twilight sky. I could see sky.
Purple. And then it'd be kind of like, it'd be like a pretty dark purple.
What if it was like gems?
Gems? Sure.
You know, like running through the ley lines of the earth, like a gem line or something.
Oh, or like
how copper does. Yes, ore. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, we solved it. Six color added.
Oh, okay. So like purple could be like underground.
Yes.
Okay.
You guys, I'm excited.
Twilight Underground is an album name if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, it is. It's like Velvet Underground cover band.
Yeah, exactly.
But by people who cosplay as Twilight characters.
Do you want to come see my band? We dress up as characters from Twilight and then play covers of the Velvet Underground.
Never. I never want to see your band.
Are you sure?
JK, I want to see this band real bad. What were we talking about? Drafting Modern Masters.
We spent so many generations with that. We're going to get so many hits. We appeal to so many demographics.
Besides multicolor, Megan, what colors are you thinking you could draft in this format?
Oh, okay. So green-white is going to be
This is back to your roots.
Yeah. It's a populate. It's a populate one.
It's a populate deck.
Populate. What's the word that I'm looking for? Draft strategy. It's a populate strategy is green-white. So it has one of my favorite cards from our original draft format, RTR, is Eyes in the Skies.
Yes.
Make a bird and then populate. Beautiful. Wayfaring Temple, which has gone down from being a rare to being an uncommon.
I missed that one. That's great.
Call of the Conclave. green, white for a 3-3.
So cool.
You got me a print of this art.
I did. That was right.
You know, it was my original. It was my Daniel.
So, like, populate's cool because what it means is you basically copy a token that you have on the battlefield, make a new version of it that sticks around. And it can be, for example, Eyes in the Skies, you can just copy
the bird that you make. But, or if you went Call of the Conclave, something else, Eyes in the Skies, and you can copy that 3-3.
Yeah.
So you get a 1-1 flyer and a 3-3 on the ground.
Because Call of the Conclave makes you a 3-3 centaur.
Oh, it's pretty great. And, it was one of my favorite draft strategies.
It's really cool.
And obviously, this way, you can make a lot of... it also has, let's see, Rootborn Defenses. A great combat trick. 2 and a white instant. Creatures get indestructible and you populate.
Yeah, so this card, Rootborn Defenses, if you are a long-time listener, very perhaps you remember that it was my first level up moment was playing Rootborn Defenses in a match.
What?
Yeah. So what I did is before blocks or something, my opponent attacked me, and before blocks, I made everything indestructible, and I populated my biggest creature, and then I was able to double block and kill one of their dudes.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, whoa, that was a pro play. And, like, now I'm like, that's not even advanced move at all. Yeah, but at the time, I was like,
when you had just started playing? Yeah. That's pretty great. Ooh, slime molding?
Like, I remember that little slime mold.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. And it goes great with Hoof Dad.
Hoof Daddy!
It goes great with Hoof Dad because you can make a bunch of different tokens. And then, you get after him.
You get after him. Yeah, this was something we were speculating about, was if you could play Hoof Dad in this Modern Master format. If they would print it.
Yeah.
Turns out Hoof Daddy will be great in the Populate deck.
And it will also be great in the red-green token strategy.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to have Dragon Fodder, make yourself some goblins. It's pretty good. And some other, let's see.
There's other Anthem effects. So literally this card is called Gaia's Anthem. 1 green, yeah. Green. Creatures you control get +1/+1. It's an enchantment.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of Always Watching from my favorite standard deck that I played.
Oh, we'll also have Gruul War Chant. You remember this?
I do, actually. Our attacking creatures you control get +1/+0 and have menace.
Mostly, like, that have menace.
Yeah.
That card, I remember just being, like, great.
It's backbreaking.
Great, yeah.
Strength in numbers. Until end of turn, target creature gains trample and gets +X/+X, where X is the number of attacking creatures.
Yep. Cool. Oh, man, look, we're also going to have some Blood Rush. Rubble Belt Maka.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
But this guy in another Modern Master set? Why do I remember that card?
Because we played during this. This is Gatecrash.
This is a Gatecrash card?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rubble Belt Maka, Slaughterhorn. Gore Clan Rampager.
That card
is so good.
Yeah, so red, green.
It's going to be uncommon.
Making new tokens.
Uncommon? It might have been uncommon already.
Gore Clan Rampager? Yeah. Uncommon, I would imagine, at least.
Yeah, I guess it was. It was a 4-4. It was a 4-4-4-4, but pretty great.
So I think you'll be making more things like goblins, probably, and sapperlings, I would imagine, mark, from this color combination, rather than making your birds and your centaurs, but you're still making tokens.
Yeah, you are.
Just potentially tinier ones.
Get out there and make some tokens, friends.
And then get hoofed.
Get hoofed.
No, you do the hoofing. That's what I meant. Yeah. This one is kind of interesting. Black Red Unearth is a strategy that they're going to push, which involves unearthing things.
Unearthing things.
Which is a keyword that we never had to play with before.
Yeah. No, we never did. I think basically what it means is that it comes back for a turn.
Yes, it comes back for a turn. It has haste, and it is only activated at sorcery speed, I believe.
Gotcha.
So you can bring something back from the graveyard for its unearth cost, and it can attack and get in there again for a turn, sometimes triggering an unearth kind of like ability. Like you get something special. I would have to look at one of the cards to know exactly what I'm talking about, since we didn't really play when this was a mechanic.
So let's see. Unearth, for instance, I'm looking at Dredgescape Zombie, which is 1 black for a 2/1 with Unearth black. So you pay a black mana, return this card from your graveyard to the battlefield. It gains haste. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step, or if it would leave the battlefield. unearth only as a sorcery.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
So you get to bring it back, attack again, which is really annoying because for decks playing against Arakdos, a red-black deck, you want to deal with their creatures and get them dead. And once they're dead, you're like, okay, I'm accruing advantage late in the game. I'm getting out bigger creatures. But guess what? You're going to be pretty bothered because they're going to be able to get their stuff back from the graveyard and keep attacking you.
You're
going to
be so bothered.
You're going to be... Bothered. I'm so bothered by your red black deck right now. I just need to eat a biscuit. I'm so bothered.
Do you remember,
worst opponent ever.
Do you remember the part in the new Ghostbusters when he's like, and the dead will return to pester the living, and they're like, pester?
Pester?
Pester the
living? Yeah, that's right. I do remember.
He's like, pester the living to death.
Being pestered to death honestly sounds awful.
Yeah, no, that sounds really terrible.
Because it would have to be pretty bad.
So this red-black unearth also has lots of ways that you can sacrifice a creature.
Yes.
Because it doesn't really matter, then you just unearth it again and you get to do it. For instance, Bone Splinters.
Bone Splinters.
You can destroy target creature. It's one black and you sacrifice a creature. Right? Like, really great, especially if you unearth, attack with it, and they're like, I don't want to block this. It's just going to get exiled anyways.
Yeah.
But you attack them for two, you hit them for two, and then you just Bone Splinters away the creature. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter anyways.
There is a card that has been downshifted from rare to common in this set, which is black. It is called Mortician Beetle. It is a 1/1 for a single black creature insect. Whenever a player sacrifices a creature, you may put a +1/+1 counter on Mortician Beetle. So that's a pretty big, like, large glaring sign that says sacrifice is a theme. Moving something from rare to common that plays right into that red black archetype.
Also, how is a beetle a mortician? He's just not gonna have enough time.
What do you mean? He doesn't live long enough?
No, he's so small.
Maybe he's putting away little tiny dead bodies. Haven't you ever seen a dung beetle? That's basically a beetle just rolling its poop to the graveyard.
This might be the grossest card of the set.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's gross. I don't know what it's on, but I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. Pretty
what it's
nasty.
On.
Megan, this deck seems up your alley.
Blue black control. Yes, please. We get to counter some spells, or we get to, we get to counter spells. Also, tons of people, when Sphinx's Revelation
was spoiled,
they were like, how happy are you? And I just want to let everyone know, very happy.
Megan, pack one, pick one, Sphinx's Rev?
Every time.
Even though you don't do it in cube?
I don't care.
Okay, you heard it here first.
I don't care.
Something that's interesting to me too is that a lot of these cards are from Shards of Valara or whatever, so we'll see Grixis X or whatever, Esper this, and it's kind of interesting to me because I mentioned on the last episode that I have trouble with those names because it's before we played, sometimes remembering them. Now this will give me a good excuse or a good reason to have those better in my head.
Do you remember? I remember Dinrova Horror.
Yeah.
Oh, it was poor Dimir.
Dimir really sucked.
When Dinrova Horror enters the battlefield, return target permanent to its owner's hand, then that player discards a card.
Like, that card is so strong.
4 blue-black, and it's a 4/4, which for blue is very, very
good. But nobody played it because Dimir was just a total garbage dump.
Yeah, so true. Let's see, there's Spire Monitor, which is 4 blue, flash, flying, 3/3.
That's great.
Pretty sweet. I'll play it. Yeah.
And
Dinrova Horror. What a card.
There's another blue-based strategy that's blue-white blink.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of different than I've seen before. There's blue-white skies, which is a known archetype, blue-white control, Sphinx's Rev comes in. Blue-white blink. Megan's going to take a moment while she thinks about Sphinx's Rev. But what's going to happen in this archetype is that you're going to have cards that generate you value in that you get a creature or something, and then you get something else on top of it.
I swear by the moon and the stars in the sky,
I'll be there. What if you woke up and Sphinx's Rev, like the little Sphinx, was outside your window holding a boombox over its head?
That would be so great.
And its little bird talons.
Yep, and its little bird.
Let me in, Megan.
That was the sound of wings.
Yeah. Would you be terrified or would you be like, come on in?
I would be really confused. The honest truth is that I would be like, Yeah.
What pain medication did I take too much of?
What drugs am I on?
So this is going to be, this archetype is going to be epitomized. Is that a word? Yes,
epitomized. That's a good way to say it.
By cards like Ghostly Flicker, which it even says it in its name. Two and a blue for an instant. Exile two target artifacts, creatures, and or lands you control. Then return those cards to the battlefield under your control. So why would you want to blink your own stuff?
Well, maybe because you have something like Mist Raven that bounces a creature to its owner's hand. Or Core Hookmaster that taps a creature down for a turn.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Seems good to me.
Seems pretty sweet.
Blue White Blink seems like a one-stop train to Valley Town.
Yeah, man.
So all these decks.
Well, where is its one stop?
in the garbage dump.
What? It's on its way. Like, it's like, oh, we're going to Value Town, but we make one stop. We're going to stop at the dump.
Yeah, because that way you get rid of all the bad cards that you're not playing in your value deck.
Oh, gotcha.
And then
gotcha.
You arrive at Value Town.
So they get them by being like, come on to Value Town. And all these bad cards are like, I want to go. But then they stop at the dump and they're like, bad cards, get off.
You get out. You enjoy your time here with Dimir from Ravnica.
Oh,
it's kind of sad.
Poor Dimir.
It's like the Island of Misfit Toys.
The Island of Misfit Zombies.
Yeah, indeed. So yeah, this set will be coming out soon. Head over and get your hands on it because it's just a fantastic time. And if you want, print out a list of the cards that are worth a lot of money when you go draft. That way you don't pass a $50 bill or something to your opponent. I did that in some of my first
Oh, I definitely passed Shocklands when we first drafted RTR.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, like 100%.
So, we've since learned better.
Yep.
But, is there any cards in here that really, like, you're super excited to play with besides Sphinx's Rev?
And Craterhoof Behemoth?
I mean, we've really said it, haven't we?
I mean, I'm very excited. I like Thragtusk. Just because I like gaining some life.
What are you talking about? You like Thragtusk? It's basically just Siege Rhino.
What? No, you just gain life. It doesn't drain anybody. It's not being so mean. It's like, I am.
I'm shocked right now. Okay, Explore.
That's fair. Oh, Explore. That's pretty great. Pretty great.
Absence Pilgrim. Ooh. Notable for your hoof strategy.
For your hoofs. Ooh, Harmonize.
Yes, Harmonize. Draw
Green
three cards.
Draw cards, please.
The new art on Compulsive Research is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. Oh, man, I didn't even see that. I didn't realize that that's what that card was.
Yes.
That's great. That's really great art. Look at that.
Yeah, beautiful.
Nice.
So I'm excited. All of you out there, if you draft some Modern Masters or whatever you do with the set, tweet at us at MTAcast. We want to see what sweet stuff you've done. Time for our second M topic.
Which is modern.
Yes, no masters after this one.
That's right. This is just straight up modern. So, Maria.
But we will be masters.
Yeah. I mean, we're sure trying.
Yeah, we are.
Tell us what you've been doing. Tell us what you've been jamming.
So, San Antonio is coming up, and I might have mentioned this on the show, that Megan has been threatening me with her dagger eyes to practice modern before San Antonio, which is Team GP, Team Unified Modern. By the way, which means, so if somebody has only one of the cards to four of the cards can be in any one person's deck.
Yeah, so you can't like split up Spell Skies across a couple decks. You have to, it's like all one person gets them.
One person gets them. And
nobody else.
Besides the fact that I love Boggles, this kind of tipped my hand in the direction of playing them even stronger because if only one player gets Spell Skies, well, that's pretty good for me. One in three chance of having to play against them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was practicing Boggles because I didn't want Megan's Icy Death Glaze.
Yeah.
Glaze. Icy Death Glaze is my new favorite donut you make.
I'm going to go into donut making just so I can make the Icy Death Glaze donut.
It's like a blackberry. Oh, that sounds good. Anyway.
Icy. Okay, so it has, oh man, this is a donut that goes overboard. It has glaze and icing on it.
This is a donut that goes overboard.
That goes overboard.
Yeah, I'd eat it.
Also, it's poison. Okay. The death part.
Warning. So I've been practicing. And what's been actually really cool is that I kept messaging Megan and being like, I'm winning. Here's my record of wins. Here's when I won. Because I think Boggles is legitimately very well positioned in this format. Why do I think that? Not only does only one player get to hold the Spellskites, which is a terrible card against, is terribly bad for Boggles to play against, but also one of the big cards in the format is Fatal Push, which does nothing against me.
Suck it.
And one of the decks... most popular decks is Death Shadow, and Death Shadow does basically 90% of the work for Boggles and gets its own life very far down. And Boggles does play four copies, at least mine, of Path to Exile. So that's good to get rid of those Death Shadow creatures, and then you just have big dudes. So anyway, those are some of the reasons I think Boggles is very good right now. Less people playing Infects, therefore less people are playing Skite. So... what I have decided, though, is that because Fatal Push exists, that I think I'm going to try out a build with three copies of Silhanna Ledgewalker, which is another hexproof creature, which is one in a green for hexproof that I think she has reach or something like that. Which just
can't Silhanna Ledgewalker not... it's like it has pseudo evasion?
Tebidin. Yeah, she has something. Maybe she's like flying.
She can only be blocked by creatures with reach or flying.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Silhanna Ledgewalker can't be blocked except by creatures with flying.
Yeah, she's still
not even with reach, just other flyers.
So I think what I'm going to do is take out my core Spirit Dancers, because while they are good, they do draw you quite a lot of cards. Cards, like I mentioned, like Fatal Push being in the format, is kind of brutal.
She just dies.
I'm going to see if it's better with this, and I have actually even toyed around with the idea of putting my four Ley Lines of Sanctity in the main deck.
Wow, four?
Let me tell you why. You want four.
Tell me why.
Because the real power of the card is not being able to cast it. It is being able to have it in your opening hand.
Yes.
And just have it in play.
Yeah, that card sucks casting it.
Yes, it does. But it's really, really backbreaking against Death Shadow. Because Death Shadow, what they want to do is rip the cards out of your hand. And if you're like, sorry, bro.
You can't.
You can't. Like, they're just... done. And that's the other reason I wanted to put the Ledgewalker in, is because Boggles needs to have a good mix of Boggles and enchantments to put on your Boggle, but especially ones that have your Boggles in your opening hand. But that's harder than having your enchantments because there's fewer of them. So if I'm able to have two threats in my opening hand plus like one or two enchantments, that's really bad for Death Shadow, because if I manage to stick one of them, they usually can't do anything about it.
Nothing.
So
suck it.
I've been like brewing in a very small, concentrated way.
That's how it starts.
I've loved it.
All tea starts as a concentrate, and you have to brew it.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That is how I feel, though. Like, I'm super excited. I want to make this deck even better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty good, and I want to just, I'm just like, what's the word? Tweaking it.
Yeah, tweaking is a good word.
And it's been a fabulous time. Megan, what are you playing?
Okay, wait. First, I want to read the flavor text on Silhanna Ledgewalker.
Okay.
Street folk call them spire mice.
It's adorable.
But behind the mockery is an unspoken envy of the Ledgewalker's skill at avoiding harm.
Yeah.
Spire mice.
That's what I'm going to call you.
I'm a spire mouse? Thank you. I like it. Yeah. I accept this.
Yeah.
Spire mouse. Oh, so I don't know what I'm playing yet. Still thinking
classic.
About it.
Yep, we've been on the fair seesaw enough with you for like a month, Megan.
I know. And it's a seesaw that I ride.
Commit or get off.
The seesaw.
I think that's the saying.
Yep, definitely. Anyways, so recently I have been playing Mono Blue Turns.
What the heck is this deck?
So what this deck is it's a lot of annoying cards, and then it's a lot of cards that help you take more turns.
Oh.
It plays, the version that I'm playing right now plays 10 different take another turn effects and four Snapcasters, which Time Warp does not exile itself, so you can flash it back.
Wow.
Which is really disgusting. So that means with Snapcasters, you have access to 14 Time Walk effects. And you play four copies of Exhaustion, which says that...
which is what your opponent is by the time you're done with this stupid deck.
Yeah, it says that they're on their next turn, their lands and creatures don't untap. So, and that's for 3 mana. So sometimes you, like, that's essentially a time walk just, for them if they tapped out. You just, like, cast it and you're like, okay, you're done. Plays 4 Cryptic Commands.
Wow.
Counters a spell.
This sounds like
3 Ancestral Vision.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
So are you, would you seriously consider playing this?
You know what? Like, the thing is that I haven't been doing badly with it.
Yes!
I think I've done 3 leagues with it, and my records were 4-1, 2-3, and 3-2.
Yeah,
and
this not
most
bad.
Recent one I went 3-2 in, I played the same Tron player twice.
This Tron player is like, kill me.
Yeah, they were actually super nice. Okay. They were very nice, but like, they must have, because I played one of the Tron games yesterday, and then that was my last league. Game for the day. So they must have finished the league.
Yeah.
And then started again, so then I got paired up against them again. Like the next time that I played, and I was like, no! And Tron is one of the deck's worst matchups. It's like, one of the reasons not to play it is if that you exist in a Tron heavy meta game, you're never gonna win that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think we're in a Tron heavy meta game right now.
That's true, and I gotta hope that, you know. Also, I feel like every time that I've played a Tron player, they have Tron on turn 3.
Yeah.
Like, all the time.
I mean, that's what, you know, your opponent, what do they have? They always have it.
Yeah.
I forget the joke.
I don't remember. I have no idea what you're talking
remember
about.
Remember when Andrew Brown was like, okay, so what's it was on our Pearl the Ring episode when he was like, a terrible hand, what is that? But it was a nickname for a terrible hand.
Oh yeah, I don't remember.
And you're like, it's what your deck always is.
Oh yeah.
And great, amazing. Oh, that's what your opponent always is.
Oh no, like what is the definition of like a Luxac?
Yeah,
it's like my opponent.
That's it. That's
like
it.
What's the definition of a pile? My deck. Or something yeah. like that. Yeah.
So when you play versus Tron, they always have it. Whenever you play Tron, you never
damn
have it.
It.
Yeah. Ugh. That's how it goes.
I've gotten like I think the first time that I played them yesterday, they went like natural Tron. Another Tron land, Ulamog, and I like countered it, but you know, they exiled 2 of my lands still. And then the next turn, they just played another Ulamog, and I was like, yep, no! All right.
Yeah, so this is exciting. I'm excited for you to make your decision, Megan, because I want to go in and be like, we have the 3 like most random ass decks.
We really are going
in our trio.
We really are going to.
Because I'm on the Boggle train. Athena wants to play
some sort of Titan deck.
Oh, I thought she wanted to play Amulet.
Yeah, that's a Titan deck.
Oh, okay. Yes, I suppose that is.
We have to check to make sure, because if she and I might fight over Serum Visions.
Okay.
But she will still play some sort of Titan deck, I'm sure.
You're both pretty flexible, which is really good. But it just makes me like laugh with joy if we're just playing like these three random decks.
Most random decks.
Taking turns. Me playing Boggles and playing Amulet. Like, what?
Yeah.
But that's the thing with Modern is the format is so huge. There's so many chances to be creative and unique with your deck choice that even in, you know, playing Magic Online, which is something that sometimes we forget, like a lot of Magic players simply don't do.
Yeah.
They play in real life. And the meta is not going to be what you see on Magic Online. It's going to be like, honestly, a lot of people bring their favorite Modern deck and playing it. And that's just like, I have Merfolk, so I'm going to play Merfolk.
Yeah, it's very true.
That's something I heard actually coming from players in the Magic Online Championship, which we'll talk about next, but one comment was, my deck choice was skewed by Magic Online. What I was facing in Magic Online was not what I faced in real life. So, anyway, it's just something to keep in mind. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Nobody's playing Spellskite. But, like, when I get there, I can only assume that it'll happen.
There will be some amount of them.
And
but
I'll
you
just
know
have
what?
To deal with it.
You just gotta... Or Blood You just gotta Moon. Roll with the punches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one to hold them. But don't fold them, because they're modern cards, they're expensive.
Yeah, don't fold them ever. Ever.
Magic Online Championship recap!
Holy cow, Josh Hunter Layton's just on freaking fire right now.
He's on fire, man!
He won GP Vancouver, which I didn't realize until I was going to look at modern lists this past week, right after he had won.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it was like at the top, and it was like about him winning, and I was like, oh yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
This guy is...
I just forgotten.
Champ. I mean, what's even crazier was that before he won GP Vancouver, he was not qualified for the next Pro Tour.
Yeah, that's right.
Now he's going to fall off the train. Now he's platinum.
Yeah.
Like, here you go, you're platinum. You get to go back to the Magic Online next year. You get to go play in the World Championship, which is what he was like, he was most excited to do. Just a great guy, of course, as well.
And I think coming up for his turn on an HOF ballot.
Yes, absolutely. He is now eligible, and I think he is a lot of people's number one vote.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting too. And a lot of people, you know what? I realize I say platinum and people don't understand what that means.
Yes. So there's different in the pro tour, there's different layers, levels.
It's like a layer cake of pro players.
Of levels. So you can, but platinum players, they get an invite to every pro tour for the following season. And like once they hit platinum for the rest of that season and then the following season.
Yeah.
And then for platinum, you also get an
appearance fees.
And flights and I think board, like hotel also.
For it's pro like tours. Crazy. It's so valuable.
Yeah. And then gold is like, you know, it's invites again to all of the pro tours. And then silver is an invite to the next pro tour.
So
that you are not otherwise qualified for.
Yeah, I believe that's
like
right.
Like if you're silver, but you go and you win an RPTQ, then yes. You get that one. And then your silver one kicks in after that.
So the thing is that, well, the Magic Online Championship first prize is $25,000. It's actually like infinitely more valuable than that because it allows you to, you know, go and play a whole bunch more pro tours and make money just going to random events through your appearance fees. So it's a super big deal. And next year, the prize purse is going to be even bigger.
What?
Yeah. And you can qualify even. There's a whole bunch of ways to qualify. So you can play in a Magic Online Championship event, which you do have to qualify for. Mm-hmm. Or you can just play a Mox monthly event, which you just use some tickets and you just go play that. And
what?
Yeah. You can just like be like, I want to play this tournament today. Okay.
You can play a Mox monthly?
Boop. Pay my tickets. Wow. Let's do it. And then you qualify. So
if you win it.
Yes. If you not you just big time not win just paying it, for
obviously,
it. But yeah, there's it's not like a closed tournament. It's not like just grinders who are in there or whatever. There was some fantastic names this year. Of course, Josh Utterlitten taking the whole thing down
against in the files.
The files.
What is wrong with me that happened in the last 2 minutes?
That was kind of me at the beginning of the show. Remember I talked about your glaze?
Yeah.
Your icy.
That was not at the beginning of the show. That was like 10 minutes ago.
I have no concept of time.
Lucas Blohan.
Yes.
In the finals.
Lucas Blohan, another fantastic.
Like, holy cow.
Past year.
Yeah.
Pro Tour Eldritch Moon champion. He didn't just qualify through the Mox leaderboard, which I'm saying just, but he won a Mox qualifying event. So he won his spot there. Like, and then he gets second in this. Like, that guy bet on Lucas Blohan. That's all I have to say. Like, he did fantastic.
Don't gamble, but
metaphorically.
Metaphorically bet on him.
Yeah, he's just shown himself to be a fantastic player as well. And then, of course, BBD, friend of the show, was there. Owen Turtenwald was there. Yep. Didn't do very well. There's one story I wanted to tell from the Mox, which was, if you watched it, you know this. And I also tweeted about it because it was kind of really touching. But so I interviewed a Japanese player who was kind of his first big event. He had played a pro tour before. Mm-hmm. But this was what he listed as his most proud moment in Magic. Ryusuke Urase. Wait, I'm going to say it wrong. Ryusuke Urase. That's how you say it. I interviewed him in Japanese and we had to have a translator. But he totally understood me. I said, what's it like to be at this tournament playing all these really big names of the game? Is it intimidating at all? And he's like, well, I'm kind of an indoor person, which was so cute.
An indoor person.
But
let's describe. Yeah, I get it.
All of my friends before I came here told me that, you know what? A grizzly bear is always a 2-2. A lightning bolt always does 3 damage, no matter who you're playing.
Aww.
And he was just so lovely and nice. And it was just a fantastic moment getting to see him on that big stage. And he was a very good player as well. He nearly made it all the way to the end. He made it to the top 4. As did Marcio Carvalho, who I think
was a finalist in the last PT. Yes,
finalist in the last PT. He's always a bridesman, never a bride, basically.
A bridesman?
He's always a groomsman.
Did you just call him a bridesman?
I said bridesmaid.
You said bridesman. I'm like 90% sure I just heard you say.
Why did I say bridesman?
I don't know.
That's really funny though.
Always a bridesman, never a bride.
I'm pretty sure you said bridesman.
If I get married, I am definitely having bridesmen.
What? Does that mean I still get to do it, but I just have to put on a suit?
No, I'm just saying that if there was dudes, they would be bridesmen.
They'd be bridesmen. Gotcha.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you want to perform the ceremony? That's what I thought when you was like, do I still get to
do
it?
I'll do that too.
Okay. So what was I saying? Yeah. he has had, you know, there's been allegations of cheating in his past and all of that, which is, you know, pretty impossible to do in the Magic Online Championship because you're playing Magic Online. Their judges watching you like a hawk. But I just wanted to say that he is insanely impressive as a Magic player, especially in Limited. Watching him play some of those matches was just doing things that was, you know, way above and beyond anything that I would have imagined the correct play to be, and it turned out to be correct.
Yeah.
So lots of great Magic that you can go back and watch. The finals especially, they were best 2 out of 3 matches was the finals.
Oh my God. That's all the same format?
Yes. Standard.
Oh,
insane.
Boy.
So while you say to yourself, I don't want to watch Copycat and Mardu Vehicles play, I'm sick of those decks. Guess what? Those matches are fantastic. Like the Magic, the decisions they had to make, the choices they made and turned on a dime from turn to turn. It was just fantastic. If you want to see some of the highest level play, I highly encourage you to check out the finals of the Mox, or really any of those matches, because they were great. And of course, shout out to Randy and Athena for putting that together. They did a fantastic job with the graphics and all that. It was a cool event. And like I said, if you want to play in it, guess what? You can.
Go qualify yourself.
Go qualify yourself.
Go qualify yourself.
Flavor Text Theater presents...
Flavor Text Theater.
Flavor Text Theater presents...
Marvel Superheroes. Which we definitely didn't come up with just because we were looking for one that starts with M.
We certainly did not.
We're going to crack this booster of Kaladesh. And when we do, we're going to take a look at the cards and we're going to create Marvel superhero characters.
Yes.
From them.
Keep in mind that the cards we use in this Flavor Text Theater are going to be added to, what month is it? March's giveaway on Patreon.
March.
So, you know, put that in your decision cap and smoke it if you, I don't know what that means.
Got it.
Okay, so we're going to make these all Marvel superheroes.
Yep.
This one I can actually see. So I've got a superhero here who's just really BA, and she's great, like her spark ignites, which is what I'm going to use Planeswalker terminology. She's an auto mechanic, and she just works in a shop all day, fixing cars and all that kind of thing. And one day her spark ignites when she realizes that she can control the cars, like vehicles.
Wow.
Any vehicle she has control over, which is like a super sick origin story when I think about it. Like that would be really cool. So basically we're combining two franchises, superheroes and Transformers. And Disney's cars.
And Disney's cars.
To make aviary mechanic.
Yeah.
So she can control airplanes, which is where the aviary comes from. But that would be a sweet superhero, don't you think?
Yes. Okay, mine is not a superhero, but it's like a superhero's tool.
Okay.
It's the Metal Spinner's Puzzle Knot.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like a puzzle, essentially, that's like, you know those ones that you have to like try and pull the different pieces apart?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that, except it's like, it's so fascinating to look at that anyone who sees it has to go like touch it and physically do it. So it's kind of like a way of like hypnotizing people. Yeah. It's like a lure or a hypnosis technique of like they become obsessed with solving this Metal Spinner's Puzzle Knot. Until the person who controls it can obviously, you know, release them.
I've got another tool. This is a tool, however, of an evil bad guy.
Okay.
And what it is a giant glowing eye. And when you look into it, it makes you feel nothing except everything that you hate about yourself.
Oof.
Which is really rough. Am I right? So everybody can relate to this. You know, we all have things that we're like, oh, I wish this wasn't true about me. I wish I didn't. Oh, I should have said that other thing instead of this thing a million years ago. And the superhero hangs the eye, and you're just like the puzzle knot. You're kind of drawn to it, and then you get super depressed and everything. Ooh. But the superhero is able to beat it when it realizes deep inside that none of that really matters. The eye is called the harsh scrutiny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is one who started out as like a sidekick, but then eventually, you know, came into their own. And this woman like realizes that her ability is to be able to know as soon as she meets a person or even sees them, like what they're like most sincere goal is, like what they want most in the world. And then she's able to couple that with like she can persuade them to do whatever she wants and phrase it in a way so that it sounds like pursuit of that goal. So basically she's able to see whatever their goal is and then use that to manipulate them.
Oh, she's in a bad way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's evil. Never mind. She's not a superhero. This is a villain.
Okay.
And she started out as Tezzeret's ambition, but now she's her own ambition.
This superhero is really great, and it's kind of more of like a graphic novel superhero because I don't know if a lot of people would read this book, this comic, but it's basically a struggling art student who suddenly realizes that everything she paints, she's a plein air artist, so everything she paints comes to life, spontaneous artist.
Nice.
Be really pretty.
Nice. So okay, this one is going to get real weird, so stick with me.
Buckling up.
So this superhero has the ability to, when faced with a decision point between, like, option A and option B, is able to live out both of those option choice, like, both of those simultaneously.
Cool.
And to see the outcome of each one, and then go back to the original point and choose one.
Wow. Right?
So she doesn't get to live with both of them forever, but she gets to, like, live them both and then go back and pick based on knowing the conclusions of what happened.
That's insanely powerful.
It's absurdly powerful. It's absurdly powerful. And it's attuned with ether, but I'm going with, like, ether one.
I don't know how to make this one into a superhero.
Okay.
Okay, I've got it. It's basically a story structure.
Yeah.
Instead of a hero. It's this new drug.
Okay.
Out on the superhero market.
Wow.
But, like, it's not a drug. It's, like, a candy, something that you shoot into your veins. That sounds like heroin. I don't know. They're going to figure out some way to print it so it's kid-friendly.
I like how it's either candy or something you shoot into your veins. Like, there's no middle place between those two things. It's one or the other.
Isn't there some superhero where they, like, have to continually take something? Otherwise, they're... Anyway.
Isn't Bane always taking stuff?
I can't remember.
That's why he has that mask on.
I don't remember, Megan.
Because I couldn't tell what he was saying the whole time.
I was born in a pit.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, I was pretty bad. Anyway, so this is something that is in, they put it into the superhero community as a bad thing to make them addicted to this. Mm. Because what happens when you take this is you become 1,000 times better superhero than you are normally.
Wow.
Like, you become insanely powerful, but you're insanely addicted to it, and every time you take it, the effect lasts for less time.
Oof.
And so it's called Spark of Creativity is the name of the drug that they give you. Put it in a book. It's probably been done.
All right. It's not a villain, but it's like a villain's, you know, troop of goons who do all of his work. And the villain.
Can you please make Troop of Goons a Marvel character?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm just going to write down.
Just write down. Because this is a create a card moment,
Troop of Goons. Yep. Okay. We're going to have to create a card for that at the very end of this.
Okay.
Troop of Goons. But this is, you know, the bad guy's Troop of Goons. But he's like an old school, like, he's like a much more evil Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride, you know, where he's just, like, only hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Combat.
Yeah.
And he enforces that, you know, like, across the board.
Oh, nice.
So they're the Malfist squad.
Nice.
They only beat each other up with their fists.
This superhero is a dude that is basically Iron Man, but it's, like, medieval Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're not having, like, jetpacks and Jarvis and all that kind of thing. Instead, everything that he crafts is something that he could... It's like steampunk Iron Man is the way I should say it. It's something that you could handcraft and make. But he makes beautiful golden wings for himself to fly, weld-fast wings with.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of cool.
So this one is a superhero who is able to hold, like, a perfect geographic map in his head, including, like, levels and everything, right? So if he's, like, in New York City,
he knows everything.
I mean, like, every street, every floor, like, how many floors are in any given building, and, like, underground, like, what is underneath that.
Wow.
And he can also, while he can't pinpoint a specific person, he can tell you, like, how many people are in a given building or in a given area.
That's useful. That's just useful.
Yeah, he's key to the city.
There's your rare key to the city. So I've got a vehicle for a Planeswalker, Marvel superhero. And what it is it's like Wonder Woman's invisible airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's totally not invisible. You can see it, definitely.
Okay.
But the difference is that it's piloted by a superhero who, which many of them actually are, completely don't believe in killing each other and instead believe in justice. And what happens is this vehicle swoops on in and saves somebody right before they're about to be murdered by another superhero and then puts them in superhero prison to face the American justice system.
Oh,
which,
okay.
You know, could go either way these days.
Really good.
And it's the snare thopter.
Yep. Okay, so you know how I was talking about we had the Malphus squad?
Yeah.
This is their boss, Takedown.
That's a great boss name. Oh, you're going to go see Takedown?
Takedown.
Takedown in the house.
Takedown.
Why do they call you Takedown?
Well, I take them down.
There we go. This is definitely a sidekick, this character. So, everybody hates this character because just a whiny little sidekick that's terrible.
Okay.
And he wants to be in the Malphus squad, but he's just never, ever going to get
there. Like, not good enough.
Ambitious etherborn.
Okay, so this is, you know how there's already the superhero Hawkeye?
Yeah.
This is the guy who's, like, just never quite as good as Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So he's always just, like, following him around, trying to be as good and trying to learn from him, but he's just never going to be. He's poor Eddie Trailhawk. His name is Eddie, and he's always on Hawkeye's trail.
Oh, Eddie.
Poor Eddie.
You don't always get that bullseye, Eddie.
No, he really doesn't. He's just not that good at it.
All right, cards entering our pile.
Yeah.
For March.
All right, Maria, but we have this card, Troop of Goons.
Okay, Troop of Goons. We're going to be better at designing these cards now than we used to be.
Yeah, that's true.
So what I want, when you think of magic, like a goon in magic, like a dork, what is the dorkiest dork you can think of?
I mean, it's just like a 1-1, right? I feel like this could be, I have two thoughts on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
My first one is that a Troop of Goons is a 4-4 for 2 and a red, but Troop of Goons cannot attack unless another troop of goons is also attacking.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
So it's not just that it needs another attacker, it's that it needs specifically troop of goons. Do you know what? Actually, I'll make it a 5-5 for 3.
Ooh.
It's a 5-5 for 2 and a red, but troop of goons cannot attack or block unless troop of goons
is also attacking or blocking. That card's really good.
Yeah,
I think, actually. It's like a blind-eyed giant.
Yeah, that's true. Except it doesn't just need another giant.
It just needs specifically
troop of goons.
Love it. I was going to make it, like, cost 9 mana and you get 3/3/3s.
Yeah, that's goons. That's goons. It could also just be, like, the 1 red for 3 1/1s.
Yeah.
Troop of goons.
Troop of goons. Goon troop. Woo! Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot about majorly munch-worthy stuff this episode.
Yeah, we have. We talked about Modern and Modern Masters and the Mox and Malaver Text Theater.
If you want to check us out on the interwebs, I encourage you to do so. It's a party there 24/7 on Twitter.
Oof.com/MTAcast. That's right. You can go to our website, magicTheAmateuring.com, where
you can get
shirts and playmats and magnet sets.
And if you become a patron on patreon.com/MTAcast,
that's right.
Starting at the $1 level, you get sweet sticker, Magic the Amateuring sticker, which we just reordered some new ones of, so they're all fresh and new and ready to go in envelopes to you.
Thank you again. If you are already a patron, thank you so much. We cannot express enough how much it means to us and how much you make this show possible. Thanks again also to our sponsor, Card Kingdom, Kingdom of Cards. don't go to cardkingdomkingdom.com, which is what I just said. That's not it.
Card.kingdom.
Card.kingdom.
But you can't buy .kingdom because it's too powerful.
Yeah, you probably. Yeah, it's just. It's a great website. Yeah, and like we said, if you order cards or boosters or any other products from them, you can ask for one of these suckers in the mail, and you will get it.
And of course, check us out on youtube.com/MTAcast or /MTAplays for MTGO videos.
That's right. You can see that sick Boggles deck that Maria was talking about. She had a deck tech on it. There will be a deck tech up for blue turns in the near future.
You're going to make that
How about that?
Yes.
Of course.
I'm excited for that. Of course I will. Okay.
So you too can play a deck that
does nothing.
That literally 5 or 6 times after you, like when you're on your 5th or 6th turn of the game, someone will message you and be like, ha ha.
But the only way you're going to know is if you hit that subscribe button on YouTube.
That's right.
Because otherwise it'll get posted and you won't know. So go make yourself know.
Oh, twitch.tv/MagicTheAmateur. Yes. We've been streaming a little bit recently. We have some sick playlists that go along with it. So come check us out. Till next time, kick your own butt.